الله.
I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Great is our God, and he's greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Come on, if you got a praise in you, why don't you give it to him? Come on, if you brought a praise for him, why don't you give it to him? Give him what you came to give him. Give him what you came to give him.
Lord, I love you more than anything.
This morning,
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything.
Expressional love for the Lord. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verses 40 through 44. Glory to his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, he's worthy to be praised. Come on, he's worthy to be praised. You all ought to give him away praise. Glory to his name. Certainly to the deacons and trustees who have devoted us to these preachers, comforting me in the pulpit. Thank you, Reverend Mims, for presiding. Reverend Erskine for scripture. Reverend Woods for prayer. Pastor Meredith Walker, and certainly to this choir that have sang so melodiously, blessed us in song. I think it'll be proper if we just look at the person beside us and say, it's good to be here. Come on, look at the other neighbor and say, it's just good to be here. And look at them and tell them, I'm not joking either. Could have been sleeping in the grave, but I'm here. And it's good to be here. A lot of other places we could have been, but it's good to be here. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him up to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God is not through with me yet. I'm still in the process. Amen. I'm not all that he has destined for me to be. I'm in the process. I'm in the process. I want to talk about the process of spiritual maturity.
Yes, sir.
The process of spiritual maturity.
Yes, Lord.
My brothers and sisters, let me commence this message by saying that when Jesus looks at a man, he sees more than what he or what we see.
Amen. Amen.
He sees what a man,
yes, sir,
can become.
Can become. Yes, sir.
When Jesus looked at Simon, Jesus saw Simon's disposition,
yes, sir,
and Simon's destiny.
Yes, sir.
At the same time. In other words, when Jesus looked at Simon, he saw Simon's potential.
Yes, sir.
He saw what Simon and who Simon would become.
Yes, sir.
Notice, if you will, in verse 41, Simon's potential was affirmed in the new name that Jesus gave him. Jesus said, "Thou shalt be called Cephas." In other words, you are not Cephas yet.
No.
But when you finish the process,
yes, sir,
you'll be Cephas.
Yes, sir.
You'll be what's necessary for the church that I'm going to establish,
yes, yes, yes,
when I send the Holy Spirit,
yes, sir,
in Acts chapter 2. He says, "But you are not Cephas or Peter yet."
Yes, look out.
You're still Simon.
Yes, sir. All right.
See, Cephas or Peter,
yeah,
means a stone. In other words, Simon, you are not a rock, a stone right now, but you will become,
yes, sir,
a rock or a stone. He saw Simon's potential. I'm thankful that God don't see us like people see us. Because some people are so hung up on your past that they don't ever let you live down your past. regardless of how improved your life becomes, they never let you outlive your past. Matter of fact, when they go to explain to somebody who you are, when they go to describe you, they always associate you with something you have done bad in the past. I'm thankful that God doesn't see us like people see us, because not only does He see our disposition, He sees our destiny. He sees what we will become. We all have potential. He sees probability.
Yes, sir.
Opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Perspective.
Yes.
Possibility.
Yes, sir.
And what is capable,
yes,
of becoming actual.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In other words, potential is not who we are now. At this moment, potential is who and what we are becoming. It is not who we are now. If you think I'm something now, you just give God a little more time with me. You ought to help me preach it, you know. You ought to look at your neighbor and tell him, now, if you think I'm something now, you just give God a little more time with me. You ain't seen nothing yet. This is low as I'm going. I'm on my way up from here, because what I'm going to become is not who I am now. I'm becoming who the Lord will have me to be. Potential. Opportunity. Possibility. What is capable of becoming actual.
Yes, sir.
I think an example of this is not only Peter, but Paul.
Yay.
Because Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he says, it is not as though I have already attained.
Yes, sir. Preach that.
It is not as I have already arrived. Oh, it is not as though I have already apprehended and have accomplished all. He says, I yet press.
Yes.
He saw himself in the process. And he saw the potential that the Lord wanted to bring into actuality in his life. And listen, we are not all we can be. There is potential in all of us. So Jesus looked at Simon and called him Cephas. He saw Simon's potential. He looked at Simon and he saw Cephas. And the name was given to him to indicate what God would do through him and in him in the process by his grace.
Yes, sir.
That Simon, like all of us, needed grace. Because Simon had to develop.
Yes, sir. Break down.
There was a lot of undeveloped qualities in his life that needed to be developed.
Yes, sir.
I pity those who think they need no process. I pity those who have reached super superlative sainthood. I pity those who think they don't need any grace because they see themselves as perfect already. I pity because when I look at my own life,
I stumble sometimes. I err sometimes. I have mess ups and mistakes that I make, and I need some grace as he's developing me in the process, as he's developing me into this rock-like man that he needs me to be for the church. Peter, I see potential.
Yes, Lord.
This process was begun with Peter's confession.
Yes.
They were at Caesarea Philippi, according to Matthew 16. And Jesus said, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?"
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they came back with names: Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets.
Yes, sir.
And then he turned to the 12.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I know what the crowd is saying.
Yes, sir.
But you've been with me." Let me know if you have received the message of the miracles.
Yes, sir.
You have saw me, and you have watched me do some extraordinary stuff. Now, who do you say?
Yes, sir.
And you know, every now and then you need to check folks around you. Because folks around you may not be who you think they are. They may not know him like you think they know him. Who do you say? And Peter, by revelation of God, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." Notice he still called him Simon. He hadn't changed his name over yet. Because he begun the process.
Yes, sir.
Some people quit before they get started. And they don't ever become who they are destined to be, because they quit before they get started. Listen, you got to watch quitting God. I know you don't want to call it that. You don't even want to see it as that. You know, but you know, as soon as times get hard, you quit. As soon as you face a little opposition, you quit. As soon as people hang your name on the wings of the morning, you quit. As soon as people roll their eyes at you, you quit. Don't let you have your way. You quit. But you can't quit before you get started if you are going to reach your potential. He started his process with his confession. You know, this crowd that he asked them about was full of proud Pharisees and Sadducees. And he says, "Who do they? Who do they?" And you know, you have to watch they, them. You know, when folks want to say something to you, you know, they always say they say. Y'all know who they, them are. You know, they say. And you have to watch, because, you know, the crowd is full of proud religious folks.
Yes, sir.
And you can never make a true decision about Christ by asking the crowd who he is. You can never make a true decision.
Yes, sir.
About Christ by asking the crowd who he is. Because most likely, everyone in the crowd is going to give you a different response.
Yes, sir.
So you have to watch crowd conversations.
Yes, sir.
Who do they say? John the Baptist and Jeremiah and Elijah. Or one of the other prophets. Couldn't have been John the Baptist. Because John served as the forerunner. And he proclaimed the coming of the king. So it couldn't have been John the Baptist. It couldn't have been Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah got frustrated. And he wanted to quit. But he discovered that the word, the judgment of God, was like fire shut up in his bones. Couldn't have been Elijah. Because Elijah feared Jezebel after he won over the false prophets on Mount Carmel. And he wanted to die. But I couldn't figure out if he wanted to die, why he ran from Jezebel. Because she wanted to kill him. But he found himself in a cave. And the Lord spoke to him. So it couldn't have been Elijah. And he's not just a prophet. He's prophet of all prophets. So you begin your process when you confess. When you receive revelation from God to confess who Jesus is. That's how you start. But then I want you to understand this. Not only did he have a confession, but he had a backslidden condition. That your process involves and includes failure. The Lord looks at him and he says, all you will betray us or betray me.
Yes, sir.
In John chapter 18. And Peter spoke up boldly and says, I will never betray you. I will never forsake you. Now, these disciples may betray you, may abandon you, but I will go all the way to death. And so he was arrested. Jesus was arrested in the garden. And Peter took out his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus reached down and put the ear of Malchus back on. How do you feel when Jesus bless your enemy?
Preach, Pastor. Preach, Pastor.
Folks, you've been praying down on. And instead of Jesus handling them like you think he ought to handle them, he blessed them. You know, if you don't have the right mindset about this thing, that'll mess you up. Because listen, you ought not be praying down on nobody anyway, because you are no better than the persons you are praying down on. It's not like you are the Lord's favorite, like you hadn't done any wrong. There is some failure in the process. He reached down and replaced Malchus' ear. And it disturbed Peter.
God Almighty.
That it took Peter and knocked him off his feet. When the Lord decides to put the ear back on that you cut off. Especially when you think the ear ought to remain off. We got some in here don't think they ought to be back on. Lord, what you put the ear back on them for?
Yes.
They ain't listening to you no way. Look at them, they come out here against you, and you're going to put their ear back on, and I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I cut his ear off, and you're going to put his ear back on. He reached down and put it back on. And he looked at Peter and said, he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. That our weapons,
yes, sir,
of our warfare not carnal, but they are strong and mighty,
yes,
to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes,
and so they arrested Jesus and they are taking him to court.
Yes, sir.
And Peter,
yes, sir,
followed from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Got to the court.
Yes, sir.
And there was a damsel,
yeah,
that saw him,
yeah, no,
and said, he is one of them. you know, you can't hide. When you got the Lord inside of you, you can't hide. Let me prove my posture, because in Matthew chapter 5, he says he sets you up on a hill like a city. And you are set up and you can't be hid. And when Peter tried to blend into the crowd, he could not be hid. And the damsel says, you are one of them. And Peter says, no, I'm not. And it went on and he denied him three times. And the rooster crowed. And listen, you got to understand that the rooster crowed for a reason. That when the rooster crowed, it showed Peter three things. It was an assurance to him that Jesus Christ was still in control of all things, even though he was a prisoner. He was a prisoner by choice. It showed him that the crowd, that the crowing of the rooster assured Peter that he could be forgiven. And the crowing of the rooster told Peter that a new day was dawning. Listen, at your worst,
yes, sir,
you got to know,
yes, sir,
that a new day is dawning. When you feel you have done the worst you could do, you got to hear the rooster crowing, saying, a new day is dawning. Listen, Peter began to weep, but I hear the psalmist saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Do I have anybody here to be a witness that you have had your night season, but you are in your morning and you have joy? Joy unspeakable. Joy that's full. That a new day is dawning. That this journey that we're on, this process that we're in, it has failure as a part of it. See, if you really believe Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, that's good and bad things, that's easy and hard things. That's things that's up and down. He says, and we know that all things work together, even the things that hurt you. Even the things that make you happy, all things work together. Even when you stumble. and fall. You're still in the process. You're in the process. Listen, God didn't kill you in your mishap and in your mess up. Because he will use the bad and the good.
And the good. Yes, sir.
The rights and the wrongs.
Preach, Pastor.
To bring out potential. You know, if you just had it all good.
Yes, sir.
You know, you'll be something to reckon with.
Great, Pastor.
You know, some of us something to reckon with the little stuff we do do. Come on, an amen goes right there. You know you mess up, but you still something else. You know if you got you didn't have any mishaps, you didn't have any failures in your life, you know, you didn't have any times of lowliness, times of blunder in your life, you'd be sure enough something to reckon with. And you know, God keeps us humble. You know, through the failures. I'm going somewhere with this now.
Take your time.
Because, you know, Peter, he's going to speak of it in 1 Peter chapter 1 about all of what he experienced was a part of the process to bring about purification in his life. See, some things you won't know not to do until you do them. And you have to suffer the consequences for some of the choices you made. So he's working with the failure. Even though he failed, he denied him. He failed the test. He flunked the test. He denied him three times. That's John 18. But then there's restoration in John 21. Because he calls Peter to himself. And he asked him three times, do you love me? He had to ask him three times because he denied him three times. Old Baptist preachers would say back in the day, he had to ask him one time for the Father, one time for the Son, and one time for the Holy Ghost. But he asked him three times, do you love me? You know, he asks us that. And what he was trying to do is get a confession out of Peter. Do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my lamb. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter got, you know, hot and angry. And he says, Lord, you know all things. And he says, well, feed my sheep. Now, he says, lamb, sheep. If you love me, you'll be busy in doing what I called you to do. I called you from fishing for fish to feeding sheep. And if you love me, you'll be busy doing what I called you to do. See, some of you are busy doing what you want to do. And you have neglected what he called you to do. See, when you love the Lord, your love is expressed in your obedience to the calling of God. that he has called you out and has given you an assignment, and he wants you to do that assignment. And if you do that assignment, you are showing forth, expressing your love for him. But when you neglect the assignment, there's an expression of your lack of love. You love me. Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep.
Yes.
Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. And I wanted to know, I said, well, Lord, there's a difference in sheep and lamb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He says, when you feed, you got to put the food high and low.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That you got to give some lamb food.
Huh?
That's low. And you got to get some sheep food. That trough can be a little high.
There you go.
He says, if you love me, you're going to give lamb and sheep something to eat. So he restores. When we fall from our place of responsibility, he restores.
Yes, sir.
And it's all a part of the process. Now let me show you the ending of the process. What you will become. And I'm done. Look at 1 Peter. First Peter. Chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That it's about your faith. That he has to remove all of the contaminants from your faith. And he uses trial. See, next time you find yourself in trouble, just have yourself a praise party.
Yes, sir.
That he's working something out of my faith. He's making me into the person that he would have me to be.
Yes, sir.
So he allows me to go through manifold temptations so that I'll be who he needs me to be. Listen, don't despise the process. Don't give up on yourself in the process. Don't give up on your loved ones in the process.
Amen.
Don't give up on your fellow church members in the process, because he's not through with us yet. And we are becoming who he would have us to be. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. While the blood is running warm in your veins. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, give the Lord you again. He will restore you. He will revive, redirect, re-energize, refocus you. Thirdly, need of a church home, faith family. And the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart. As a family of faith, come. 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 The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by ladder. Christian experience. A candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on. Everyone to your feet if you will. Reverend Mims is coming with our scripture for communion service.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But this is he was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight."
Our deacon program to come. Is there anyone that needs a cup of Lord, we thank you for this ordinance of Holy Communion. For it is in this Jesus-established new covenant with all who would believe on him. Thank you, Lord, for his death on Calvary's cross, his getting up Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet fellowship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he walks with us, he talks with us.
Yes.
We are his eternally. Lord, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Men, broken relationships, help us, Lord. And I walk with you, and I walk for you in the work that you have assigned to our hands. Thank you, Lord. It is in Jesus' name we do pray, and every heart say amen.
Amen.
Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, while they were eating of the Passover meal, took bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken. Take, eat, and remember." After they supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Take, drink." After they had supped together, they went out unto the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn, having fellowship one with another. Lord, we thank you for what our eyes have seen. Ears have heard, eyes, hearts have perceived. We pray and ask, Lord, that you govern and guide us as we leave this place. Give us of your grace, your mercy. Lord, your loving kindness. Lord, we pray for the communing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
We pray that your hand of power, protection, and provision be upon us. Lord, until we meet again, every heart say amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.